Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
You know, as I look back at it, little did I know that we would have to use our talents and our gifts as healthcare workers and educators like we had to use them in 2020. Wow, we all can think about that year and know that we have had to dig in and go to battle, to go to war. But it was the gifts and the talents that God gave us that we were able to continue to fight, and we are close to being victorious. As I think about this, I am honored to be a part of this group of men and women who love God and want to serve God unconditionally. You know, as I think about things that are priceless, things that are worth so much, I think about Medical Week because of the impact that it has made in our church and in our community at large. We all know that God thinks that we are incredible. But sometimes we act as if we don't have worth, that we don't have the same worth that God thinks about us. We can think of ourselves as being worthless or being useless and being mediocre and average, almost as if we're not partnering with God where God is working. But we have to understand that God sees something different in us. He sees that potential. He sees that worth. I think about even celebrating all the different birthdays and all the different anniversaries and all the different huge milestones, engagements. We haven't been able to celebrate those the same way. And sometimes we can be disillusioned. And sometimes if it doesn't go our way, then we kind of have low self-esteem and low worth about ourselves. We can see this maybe in the singles. You know, y'all haven't been able to connect socially and have those relationships. And because of the lack of the relational connection, you may have a low view of your worth. We see it in the school age and the college age folks. You know, when you're not in your normal learning environment, it can be challenging. And because of that lack of social connection and the appropriate learning environment, then we have poor academic performance. Or maybe it's a financial struggle where the money is just not where we want it to be and our self-esteem that we have is low. And, you know, quite honestly, maybe it extends beyond 2020 where we had a childhood that we were just unhappy about and that has stuck with us and made us think of ourselves lower than we really are. But I'm here to tell you today that God sees something different. God says you are his masterpiece and you are priceless. And I want us to look at a story that really speaks to that over in Jeremiah chapter 18. So turn over to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah was one of the Babylonian prophets during the time where the Israelites were kind of transitioning into captivity. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah's message was very simple. God told Jeremiah, look, tell the people, it's over. It's done. Lay down your weapons. God's discipline is here. It'll be much easier and much less bloodshed if you just humble yourself, go into captivity, and let these next 70 years take its course. Wow, what a message Jeremiah had to give to the people of Israel. You know that was met with a lot of contention and a lot of discourse and a lot of anger. And that's why Jeremiah was weeping, because he had to give a very difficult message. And we see that here in this story specifically. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter shop and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his will. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay and started over. Then the Lord gave this message. Then gave me this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as the potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand. The basic method of pottery has not changed over the centuries. In ancient times, they used to take a lump of clay, put it on the potter's wheel, spin it around, and the potter would squeeze and press and expand the clay to form it into a shape that was useful for the potter, and is no different today. When you look at the power of God, this passage is speaking about the sovereignty of God. God had control over the Israelites. If they would do as God would want them, he would bless them. If they would not, he had the ability to crush them and start the process over again. God is in control of our lives, and we have to embrace that sovereignty that God has. There's also power in the clay. The clay, the Israelites, they had the power to decide if they were going to follow God, if they were going to make the commitment to follow the decrees of God, or they had the power to say, no, I ain't gonna do it. But whatever decision that the Israelites would make, not only would it affect Israel at that time, but it would affect Israel, the whole Israel, and many generations to come. You know, when you really ultimately look at the story of the potter and the clay, it's a story about relationship. It's a story about the potter intimately involved in the clay. You can see the passion, you can see the excitement, you can see the caring that the potter has for the clay to shape it in a way that is useful for the potter. And that's what Jeremiah is communicating to us. He's telling us God wants a relationship with you, and God will do whatever is necessary for you to have that relationship with him, regardless of how much it may hurt the clay. And that is true love, doing what's spiritually best for the individual, regardless of the consequences or the pain that may happen. When I look at this, it's really embodied in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I'm reading from the NLT. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The major point that I have for you this morning is God created us to be his masterpiece. And as we continue to journey with God, he will mold us from one season to the next, and we will never be the same masterpiece. You know, when you take a lump of clay, as you see the potter doing it, and you just slap it on the potter's wheel, I'm like, man, can you be a little bit more easy with the clay? He just slaps it on the wheel. But if you look at the clay, it's just a dull, lumpy, dumpy pile of nothing right now. It's worthless. It's not very useful to the potter. But I will tell y'all, I want to encourage y'all with the scripture that I've been holding on to during this time of the pandemic. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. This is a section where Jesus gets baptized. And I love the part where Jesus comes out of the water. And Jesus has not preached one sermon. He has not done one miracle. He has not done one sign or wonder. He's done nothing. But when he comes out of that water, God says, this is my son, whom I love and who I am well pleased with. At that point, God accepts Jesus for who Jesus is. There's no attachments. He doesn't have to do a whole bunch of stuff. And so for us, at the point that we decide to let God take the lumpy, dumpy clay and throw it on the potter's wheel, that's the point that we say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want to repent. I want to be baptized, and I want to live out the life of discipleship. Because at that point, we are covered in the blood of Jesus, and God sees nothing but his son. He sees holiness. He sees somebody that's blameless without defect. So I want to encourage all of us, especially those that may not know if they're in the right relationship with God right now, or maybe some of us that are still trying to figure it out, or maybe even people that are studying the Bible right now. I encourage you, I implore you, continue on your journey. Find out who invited you to this message today and take part in Medical Week. Because if you allow God to put you on that potter's wheel, you are God's masterpiece right then and there. So we have the opportunity right now to say, Jesus is Lord. And when we do that, we can say, repeat with me, I am a masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. Now we have to ask ourselves, as God's masterpiece, what do we have to do to be used by God? We have to remain in the hands of the potter. We have to remain in the master's hands. In order to never be the same masterpiece, we gotta stay in his hands. So what does that look like practically? It requires perseverance. We have got to persevere. We've got to stay in there, brothers and sisters, because when you remain in the hands of the master, you got to be still. If you remember that lump of clay that's put on the potter's wheel, the clay's not moving. The clay is very still. I think of the Psalm 37, where it says, be still and patiently wait on the Lord. That's what we have to do. We've got to be patient because God is going to mold us. You know, even as the potter is squeezing the clay and pressing on the clay, he's putting his fist inside of the clay to expand it. The clay is not moving. That squeezing can represent the pruning that must take place in our lives to get our character to be more like Jesus. The expanding that the potter does can represent moving us outside of our comfort zones to be able to take on tasks, to take on other job opportunities with our gifts and our talents that we feel like we can't do. You know, in the business world, they call it a stretch assignment, where you don't necessarily have every last tool you need to do this assignment, but we're going to go for it. And then last but not least, we've got to go through the fire. You know, when you are firing clay, it is the final process before the clay becomes a priceless vase. Check this out. When you are firing clay, it transforms the clay from a humble, soft beginning into a durable substance called ceramic. Ceramic is tough and it's durable and it is very strong. It has similar characteristics to even stone. When you look at when this process happens, there is temperature that needed to be added. When the clay goes through this firing process, it stays around for thousands of years. That's why we've been able to find artifacts, pottery, in different types of archaeological digs because of the firing process. The temperature. You just can't do pottery in your home. You just can't take your oven and cut it up to 425 degrees and try to do pottery. Now, we know when our sisters are baking and we got some brothers that are chefs and they're doing their thing, even when you cut the oven on that 375, it is hot as all get out. You remember when grandma used to say, open the door, honey, it's hot in here. Well, to fire clay, it has to be above 1500 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. That is white hot almost. So the whole purpose of firing the clay is so that it can mature. What does mature mean? Mature means that there is a melting process going on in the clay. Well, in clay and other objects that go through this process, the melting is not seen externally. The melting is seen on a molecular level. Brothers and sisters, what I just described is the walk of being a disciple. We start off soft and we start off humble and we start off very, you know, intimidated, but then we get molded and we go through a firing process. We go through pain. We go through suffering. We go through challenging things in our life, and it makes us tough. It makes us durable. We can hang around for centuries, and we know we can do that when we follow Jesus Christ. And then the changes that are happening, some of it's external, but most of it, as we know, is internal. It's on that molecular level. It's on the inside where people can't see the character transformation that is occurring. The challenge that we have is too often when the potter is squeezing and putting pressure and expanding us and putting us through the fire, we want to jump off of the potter's wheel. We're like, man, I ain't going through that. I am not doing that. It is not going the way that I anticipated. This is not the plan that I have for my life. So I'm getting off. I'm jumping off. And don't you know, if you jump off that potter's wheel, that thing is going 100 miles an hour, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt yourself spiritually. And that's turning away from God and saying, no, God, I don't want you to mold me into a useful masterpiece. And the Israelites actually did that in the latter part of Jeremiah chapter 18. The Israelites actually told God, don't waste your breath. Can you believe they told God, don't waste your breath. We're going to do it our way. We're going to continue to follow the way of our ancestors. Wow, brothers and sisters, we don't want to repeat that. Because if we stay on the potter's wheel, not only will we become a useful masterpiece, and God will mold us and we will never be the same masterpiece, our family, our friends, our network, they will have the opportunity to become masterpieces as well. Let me let you in on a secret. The decision that we make now will affect generations to come. What are you doing in your life personally right now, and even in the church, where you know that the only way it can be accomplished is if you remain in the potter's hand? There's a sister that I would love to talk to y'all about right now, Victoria or Tay Robinson. Man, Victoria has fought with God. She has wrestled with God to stay on the potter's wheel. She has wrestled through family challenges. She's wrestled through church hurt. She's wrestled through a sense of, should I be here? A sense of belonging. And I recently talked to Victoria. I was like, Victoria, what was your epiphany? What was it about your journey with God that allowed you to turn that corner? She said, Ed, it was because I decided I needed to get in my Bible. I needed to read God's word and practically apply it in my life. Then she said, probably even on top of that, it was the community of believers, the community of disciples that surrounded Tay, that loved Tay, that called Tay higher, that held her accountable, that corrected her on some things, that was able to walk with her through this process. But Tay said it was the community of relationships where she turned that corner. She also shared with me that, you know, Ed, I didn't think about how can I serve the church? How can I use my gifts and talents to be able to partner with God? But she said she was sitting in a D group, a discipleship group, where we get together and we talk about God's word and we hold each other accountable. And she said they were talking about serving. And the discussion wasn't even pointed toward her. It was focusing, I think, on another sister. And Tay was convicted. She says, how am I going to live this out now? I'm not doing anything to serve God. So her first inclination was, I want to serve in the PATH kids. And whatever kind of way, it didn't work out. But what the opportunity that was available was the host team. She said, I don't want to work on no host team. I don't want to wake up and be talking about, good morning, welcome to the PATH Church. I don't want to do that. I want to go sit back in the corner, play with the kids where ain't nobody can bother me. But that is not what God had planned for her long ago. Tay decided to join the host team, and she was serving, and she was like, it was tough. It was difficult. But she saw how God was using her. She saw how the character transformation was occurring. She said that that small step then prepared her for what God has now brought for her next assignment. Now Tay is the co-chairperson for the medical week. It used to be called Medical Day, brothers and sisters, but this is the woman that came up with Medical Week because of her faith, because of God molding her. She's also a small group leader with her husband, Jonathan. So you see, God had long ago prepared for Tay to do these things, as he talked about in Ephesians chapter 2. And it started with her remaining on the potter's wheel. It started with her taking a small step to do something that she didn't want to do so that God can continue to mold her and change her and get her ready for her next assignment. I want to read this from the book Experiencing God that Angel has us reading. We are a doing people. We always want to be doing something. Every now and again, someone will even say, don't just stand there, do something. In contrast, I think God is crying out to us, don't just do something, stand there. Enter a loving relationship with me. Get to know me. Adjust your life to me. Let me love you. That's when the clay can have an encounter with the potter, and none of God's people that are encountered in that way could ever remain the same afterwards. So practically, as masterpieces, we have gifts and talents that God has given us. I've referred to our healthcare workers and all of their talents. I refer to our educators and all of their talents. There's so many different talents that we have. There's IT, there's technological gifts and talents. There's our videographer, there's Path Kids. There's so many talents that we have. So we have to figure out how we're going to use those. Don't ever underestimate what God can make you into. Because we are God's masterpiece, what has God put on your heart, in your life personally or in the church, where you can partner with God and serve Him? We've got virtual church we're getting ready to start. We have our building that's getting ready to open soon. What has God put on your heart? What vision has God given you so that He can use you as a masterpiece? What I would encourage you to do is what I call reach and run. Reach out to somebody and run that by them. Share that with them this week of what God wants to use you for because you are His masterpiece. You know, we have an incredible opportunity to make an impact not only in our world, in our community, but in each other's lives. You know, this particular vase here is called a Pinger Qing Dynasty vase. This particular vase is actually priceless. They can't attach a value to it. But if you look at it, it's all dingy. It's all, it looks a little crummy, quite honestly. It's something that I wouldn't put in my house. You know, my wife is our interior design extraordinaire expert. Tasha wouldn't put that in our house. It's kind of ugly. But you know what? Sometimes God's masterpieces can look like that. If you remember Acts chapter 4 with the apostles and the disciples, they're quoted as being regular, ordinary, unschooled men, not very attractive to the world, but who changed the world. You see, God's masterpieces are designed to change the world. People may look at us and be like, man, they're ordinary. They're unschooled. There's nothing attractive about them. But brothers and sisters, we are equipped to change the world with our gifts and talents that God has blessed us with. So what would it look like, Path Church, for us to have the conviction that we can change the world? We may start off as a lump of clay, and that's a masterpiece right then and there. But as we partner with God, journey with God, and as He molds us, He will change us into exactly what He needs us to be for Him, and we will never be the same masterpiece. As we think about communion right now and the blood of Jesus, I think we have to look into the heart of the potter. And we can see the heart of the potter as we look at the cross and we see the wounds and we see the blood extruding from the wounds. And we see Jesus battered and bruised. And now we can see that the potter has made the ultimate sacrifice to allow his son to be the greatest masterpiece there ever was through his death, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. We have an opportunity to partner with God to heal this world because we are his masterpiece. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we are thankful. Just thankful, God. God, I want to pray about gratitude right now, God, that you would think about us long ago, that you would give us gifts and talents that you continue to mold and change so that we can be useful for you. Father, let every man and woman and child that's listening to this message right now figure out, God, by spending time with you, how they can use their gifts and talents to be a masterpiece for you, to make an impact in our communities, to help people spiritually find the love of your son, Jesus. God, we pray for the rest of medical week, that it will be an exciting time for people to engage in healthcare and educational opportunities, ultimately to see the love that you have given us. It's your holy son's name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.